chromosomes. Little strands of nucleic acids and proteins are the fundamental genetic instructions that tell us who we are at birth. Most people are born with 46 chromosomes, but each year in the United States, about 6,000 people are born with an extra chromosome, making them a person with Down syndrome. If you've ever encountered someone with Down syndrome, you know that they are some of the kindest, most joyful people you will ever meet. They truly have something extra. My name is Lisa Nichols, and I have spent the last 24 years as both the CEO of Technology Partners and as the mother to Allie. Allie has something extra in every sense of the word. I have been blessed to be by her side as she impacts everyone she meets. Through these two important roles as CEO and mother to Allie, I have witnessed countless life lessons that have fundamentally changed the way I look at the world. While you may not have an extra chromosome, every leader has something extra that defines who you are. Join me as I explore the something extra in leaders from all walks of life and discover how that difference in each of them has made a difference in their companies, their families, their communities, and in themselves. If you like this episode today, please go to Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen and leave us a 5-star rating. I'm excited to have Desiree Coleman Fry on the show today. Desiree is a diversity, equity, and inclusion executive, the mom of four, an author, and a keynote speaker. Well, Desiree Coleman Fry, welcome to the Something Next Podcast. Oh my goodness, I've been so excited to have you on the show. You and I was thinking about it. We've known each other for such a long time.
Same. I thought about, you know, I'm from St. Louis, but I moved away, came back, and you were one of the first people I met because you're very involved in United Way. And so when I came back, I was working at United Way and got to meet amazing people like yourself who were really committed to how can women show up and lead? How can women be philanthropic and put their weight behind the causes that matter? So it's been a pleasure watching your company grow and also watching you sort of try new things and blossom. And I'm so excited to be on your podcast.
Well, I'm excited too. And we have so much good stuff to talk about. You and I recently sat on this panel together, St. Louis Rethinks Talent. And it was so much fun. And we're talking and I'm like, Desiree, you need to come on my podcast. She goes, well, you need to come on my podcast. So yes. For our listeners, we're doing a double today. Yes. And so that's going to be so much fun. And I'm grateful to call you my friend. But you know, let's talk a little bit about growing up. Cause you just said you grew up in St. Louis, but tell me a little bit about growing up. I know your mom was very influential and she taught you some leadership lessons. So tell me about that.
I'll tell you about St. Louis. I'll tell you about mom. So St. Louis, not born here, but raised here. And I feel like my upbringing has sort of been a dichotomy. I grew up in St. Louis City, in South City, represent. And then I got bused out to West County. And so I always saw the dichotomy in like the housing inventory. I certainly noticed as I passed different schools, seeing the availability of resources. And I always sort of felt that there was this undercurrent that really separated our community among racial lines. And so, you know, it was an interesting sort of upbringing. And I think it's one that's marked by highs and lows, instances where, you know, I may have been called the N-word in class and then having a full circle moment many, many years later with my classmates, electing me to leadership roles. So it has sort of been this push and pull, but there's no place like home. And so, even after I graduated from college and grad school and started my career on the East Coast, you know, I came on back. So I'm definitely one of those boomerangs, St. Louis through and through. And, I would say that's the kind of what characterizes my upbringing. With respect to my mom, I love her so much. Like, she's never met a stranger. And so one thing my mom taught me, it's just boldness and also just getting to know people. So we would be in the store and she'd be commenting and complimenting folks on their shoes and wanting to know where they got their shoes from and then telling a story related to her shoes. And so just like this openness and genuine interest in people is something I've really taken from my mom.
I love that. Well, I take that from my dad. Dad never met a stranger, Desiree. And I can remember being on vacations. You know, my mom would go into a shop. We'd go into a shop. We'd come out. Dad's sitting on a bench talking to this man. I'm like, do you know him? I mean, we're like in a different state. And he goes, no, but I do now.
Right? I think there's something beautiful when you kind of open yourself up to get to know people, to share, right? There's a level of vulnerability and just connection. So
agreed. Well, let me ask you this. Then what'd you like to do as a little girl? Were you in sports? Were you in
dance class? Dance class. So you could catch me all day Saturday, many times during the week. And I started out doing tap, and I remember my mom sort of reminded me I wasn't good at it. And it's true. but, you know, I eventually found my love in jazz. And so in high school or whatnot, I was on the dance team. I had a dream come true moment. I always wanted to dance in college. I went to Mizzou for undergrad and I was like, I want to be a Golden Girl. And I didn't try out until my junior year, didn't make it. And I was like, man, dang, dream is over. Ha, wasn't over, because I went to Syracuse and I tried out for their dance team and I made their dance team. So I got to sort of be a part of the Orange Men, and it was a really great experience.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. So speaking of Syracuse, perfect segue, you got your master's from Syracuse. Yeah. Right. And public administration, I think, you know, and we'll talk a little bit about this, but girl, when we were on that panel together and I'm talking to you, you're like, yeah, I'm going back to SLU for my doctorate. I'm like, you're what? And you've got four kids. I'm like, what in the world? But you know what? That just says a lot about you, Desiree, you know, that you don't want to be content just to stay here. And you want to keep growing, you want to keep learning, you want to keep evolving. And I love that about you and that you have that growth mindset. Yeah, for sure. But, you know, in your career, and we'll talk about this a little bit, I mean, you have done a lot of things, but primarily you've been kind of in the people space.
Yeah.
Really, it's always kind of been about people, workforce development, community relations, you know, employee engagement. And, you know, you really, I think I read something where you said you're a DEI executive with a superpower of transforming organizations or something. I could have butchered that, but, you know, I love that. So let me ask you this. I mean, just give me a few things that you've learned, you know, in your career. I mean, what have you learned? And we'll dig in a little bit deeper there.
Well, Lisa, thank you so much for threading that needle, because I think if you were to ask me, I would say like, oh, the through line throughout my career has been, you know, helping communities, helping people, but it's really ultimately about people. And it comes back to what you said earlier about, you know, we were talking about connection and really valuing people as people. So I think the most rewarding time in my career was the time I spent in DC. And it's because of the people, right? I worked with young people who were involved in the juvenile justice system, some of them incarcerated, many of them trying to navigate life amidst fragile family situations, under-resourced neighborhoods, and social infrastructure and safety nets that, quite frankly, were failing them. And so really seeing the resilience of these young people lit a fire in me that said, I'm going to do everything that I can to make sure that you have a different set of choices. Obviously, I can't make you choose, you know, what we would hope, but I can lay the opportunity before you. And if I've done that, then I've done my job. So advocating for young people to have educational access, you know, fostering relationships so that they could have structured work experience, that work was deeply meaningful, because you could go home at the end of the day and say, I potentially help create an opportunity that sets someone on a different path in life, or gives them a chance to you know, take a step forward towards their goals. And so that's the work that I find really meaningful.
Yeah, I love that. I love what you say about that, because I was telling somebody the other day, I said, when I have the opportunity to mentor a young person, or when you see just the light bulb go on and maybe just changing their paradigm a little bit, Desiree, there's nothing that brings you greater joy, right, than to be pouring in other people and making a difference. Because at the end of the day, that's what it's all about.
It is. And I love what you said just about, you know, teaching everything you know, sharing liberally, giving away all of the secrets, right? And I tell my daughters all the time, like, I want you to be 10 times better than I am. So I'm literally going to tell you everything that I know. So I talk to them about like negotiating. I talk to them about like speaking up. I talk to them about like, okay, if someone hurts your feelings, the easier thing to do is just to go in a corner and be like, oh, whatever. But let me model for you how to have healthy relationships and how to recognize and own your feelings, and then sort of set healthy boundaries and talk to people. So, you know, this idea of like passing it on, creating bridges for other people, I think that's something that for me is deeply meaningful.
You know, what you just said really reminds me of, I just had Tom Ziegler on the podcast a few weeks ago, Desiree, and of course he's Zig's son, right? And he said that Mark Batterson, who I don't know if you've read any of his books or not, but he said Mark Batterson has this quote that he loves. And he said, an inheritance is what you give to someone, but a legacy is what you leave in someone. And that is what you're doing with your daughters. You know, you're leaving a legacy because you are building into them, and they'll carry that with them. Right. So, yeah, that's really beautiful. Well, you know, you've done so much around DEI. You know, I mean, Desiree, have we made progress?
Yeah. I mean, and to be honest, like sometimes people will say like, well, how do you do this work? Oh, so much, so many things happening. How do you do this work? I do this work because I have hope, right? I have hope that things can get better, that people can, you know, open their perspective, widen the aperture to understand someone else's point of view. I have hope that we can design systems where women and women of color can thrive, that we can sort of sit with things that have happened. Like it's a uncomfortable truth, but that's like where courage comes in, because you sit with it, you acknowledge it. And then, you know, the leadership moment is when you say, okay, so what are we going to do about it? And I feel like a lot of times, you know, we retreat to the corners that divide, we retreat to our echo chambers, and, you know, we come up with all of these reasons why, well, this is a problem, this is a problem. And really doesn't matter. What ultimately matters is that like we can acknowledge that these set of circumstances are not ideal for everyone. And in order to really ensure that we're creating opportunities for everyone to thrive, then like, what does it look like to make a different set of choices? So there's so many books that even as I'm saying this, that like come to mind. I love Michelle Alexander's The New Jim Crow. And she talks about like, there is always the option to choose to create equitable outcomes or equitable systems. We just have to have the willingness to do that. So my hope and prayer is that in the one-on-one conversations I have, in the content that I create, in the work that I do, that I am illuminating to people the opportunity to make a different set of choices.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would really encourage our listeners to follow you, Desiree, because you've written so many good things out there. I know that you've got a formula, for like comp structure, you know, you've just got so much great content, and we don't have the time to dig into all that today, but I'm hoping that our listeners will follow you. They'll engage with you and, you know, get some of that good stuff that you're putting out there in the community. Tell me about Women Work Well. So you were chosen, this is so cool, you were chosen by LinkedIn as one of only 100 creators, and actually you're the only one from St. Louis to be a part of their inaugural class of the Creator Accelerator Program. You know, and I think this is so cool because you chose to create a community for working moms.
Yeah.
Tell me how it works.
Well, Lisa, first of all, like hats off to you because you did all of the homework. You know all of the things. So I so appreciate that. I mean, I'm a working mom of four. I, as you noted earlier, am back in school. I am working full time. And so my life is full. And I recognize that, you know, there are a lot of times trade-offs that I have to think about as a working mom. There are considerations that I have to make as I'm navigating my career. And so, you know, as I talked to my friends, I knew that these were things that weren't unique to me, but that were bubbling up. And so I wanted to create space to literally say to working mamas, I see you. Like, let's have real, honest, authentic conversations. Hopefully, where nuggets are dropped and you can get what you need for that week, just a little bit of encouragement. I'm so grateful for the opportunity to have participated in Creator Accelerator because it really showed me a little bit more of who I am. I never called myself a creator. I would just be like, oh, this is my opinion and I'm just posting it. And then, you know, to have, you know, this tech giant say, well, hey, we want to hear your voice. Like, that is really gratifying and affirming. And it's just helped me think about how I create community and hold space.
Yeah, and community is so important. You know, you've got three main focus areas there that, you know, you kind of talk about, and it's leveling up, loving your babies, which I love, and then living abundantly. Can you expound a little bit on each one of those? Living abundantly, that's a big one.
Yes. So leveling up is really about how do you grow from wherever you are professionally. So whether you are an entrepreneur, whether you're working full time, what are the things that you can think about to build relationships and to help you get to that next level? The loving your babies. I mean, my kiddos, they are my joy. And, you know, if I had my druthers, if I was independently wealthy, I would be, you know, volunteering and writing checks and spending time with my not so little ones. But it's really all about how do you make memories? How do you stand in this very difficult job that is called parenting and do it with grace and do it with love and, you know, come out hopefully with, you know, your hair and, you know,
Right.
your sanity and all of that. And then,
Yes.
you know, the living abundantly is this idea that like we need each other, that community really does matter. That, you know, wellness and thinking about all the things that we need to be whole as women is something we should be considering. You know, many times we juggle all of the plates and then there's nothing left in the tank for us. And so it's this idea that like surviving is not really enough. Thriving is the goal. And so I hope to create community that helps women do that.
Yeah, that's so good and it's so needed. Well, Desiree, we need to take a really quick break and we'll be right back on the Something Extra podcast with Desiree Coleman Fry.
In business, the tendency is to seek out partners who are bigger, faster, stronger. When it comes to IT, you should be looking for smarter, faster, better. That's just what you'll find with the talented technologists at Technology Partners. Our experts develop custom solutions to tackle your most complex challenges, all to simplify your processes in the smartest, most efficient way possible. The time to be swift and nimble starts now. Go to technologypartners.net/solutions and see what's possible.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to the Something Extra podcast with my friend Desiree Coleman Fry. So, Desiree, we're talking about this beautiful community that you're putting out there for working moms. So, I have a couple of questions for you. I mean, how has being a working mom informed your leadership?
First of all, working moms are champs. And I can't say that enough. If you think about conflict resolution, if you have multiple kids, if you think about how do you motivate someone to do something that they absolutely don't want to do, if you think about how to manage and give consequences when expectations haven't been met, I mean, so it is a crash course in leadership. And I don't know that folks really appreciate that as much as they should.
Yeah, I could not agree more. I mean, it truly is. It's a master's, it's a doctorate in leadership for sure,
But then
being a mom.
also, right? But then also, you got to love them. So, on top of that, right? So, the kids may do all of the things. And then
How
you
do
have to be kind and extend love and grace and continue to
Yes.
show up.
Yes. That's the really tough one, I think, you know, because we do have expectations, and when they don't meet our expectations, oh, you know, but you got to love them through it, right? So I'm going to ask you this question, and we have just a few more things I want to talk about, but, you know, there could be listeners out there that have blended families. You know, and so you recently got married. That's where the fry comes in. Yeah. So excited for you. But, you know, how has it been navigating a blended family? What have you learned from that, Desiree?
Yeah, I think for me, it's been about suspending like what you think things should be and being open to the idea of creating something new. So, you know, I brought my kiddos to this relationship. He brought his kiddos. And then as we join in marriage, it's like, okay, now we need to build a new normal. And so really, you talk about growth mindset at the top of the, you know, at the top of the podcast, but I really think that that is the crux of it. How do you open yourself up to learn? Also open yourself up to love, right? Because you are welcoming, you know, a set of folks into your life, and you have something to give, and, you know, there's probably a lot that you could learn in return. And so it's really just about being open and being focused on building that relationship.
Yeah, that's good. Well, you've authored several books, or you've authored several books. You've been a contributing author in several books, but there is an ebook that you have out there with a course attached to it.
Yeah.
And you had me at the title, 21 Days to Your Best Self. Who does not want to show up as their best self? I don't know anybody, right?
Yeah.
You know, so I'm assuming, Desiree, that the 21 comes from the 21 days to establish a habit is what I'm assuming, but that might be presumptuous on my part. But, you know, without giving too much away, can you just share just a few of the keys from this?
Yeah. So part of it is really sort of anchoring in, you know, where you are today, and this idea that where you are today doesn't have to be where you are tomorrow. So as you open yourself up to the possibility of growth, of embracing new things, of even envisioning something different for yourself, once you do that, what are the actionable steps that you can take to get there? So we delve a lot into mindset, and also, it kind of anchors in this possibility of hope that, like, there is more in store. And, you know, you sort of said it earlier, but I wholeheartedly want to leave this earth having maximized my potential, learned all of the things that I could have learned, and poured out.
Yes.
So this idea of both giving and growing is really where the course is rooted.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a great segue, because you know, when you said pouring it out, it just reminds me, I believe that we've all been given something extra. We've all been given gifts, right, Desiree? I know you believe that as well. Yes. But we really are given those gifts so we can pour them out. In fact, and I don't know who said this, and I'm probably going to butcher this quote, but it's one that I love, that somebody said, at the end of my life, I don't want there to be 1 ounce of my skill set, my talent, I don't want to be 1 ounce left. I want to have used it all.
Yes. That's my goal in life.
And be a good steward, right? Of all of it.
So people always ask, how do you go so hard? Like, why, you know, like, you're doing all these things, because number one, faith is so important to me. So I use that as my barometer, and also, you know, it's a guide for me. And so I try to be really deliberate about how I spend my time, the things that, you know, I do, but also being very mindful that, as you said, like, each of us has a unique set of skills, a unique set of competencies that have to be put here to make the world a better place. And so, you know, from the stewardship aspect, just, you know, being thoughtful and intentional about using them. Like, that's what I wake up every day thinking about.
Yeah, that's good. I love the word intentional.
Yeah.
Because none of this happens. Yes. None of this happens without intentionality, right, Desiree? So unpack this for me. I read something that you wrote. While our comfort zone is cozy, there's a world of possibility on the other side of surrender.
Yeah,
that is beautiful, Desiree. Beautiful. That should be on a, I don't know, plaque somewhere. But unpack that for me.
Yeah, so I wrote that as I thought about this journey of going back to school. Let me be very clear. I never intended to go back to school, right? I had my plan. I'm like, I just got married. I'm doing all this stuff. And so, but there was like just this little bitty like echo in the back of my mind. We're like, what about school? And I'm like, oh, I don't want to do it. And honestly, that went on for 7 years. 7 whole years of like having my heart nudged and being like, nope. So it really was during the space of the pandemic where I finally was like, okay, I surrender. Let me explore this thing. And yes, I have kids and I work full time. And so I was like looking for programs and I'm like, I'm not going to find anything. I know what's out there. Like, you know, how are you going to do a PhD? And turns out like there was something for me. And so as I surrendered, I was able to, you know, sort of the path was illuminated for me. That's what led to me ultimately enrolling in my PhD program. But it really started with a yes and a surrender.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. The surrender was first and then the path was illuminated.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, well, that's deep. Okay. So Desiree. This is, I could talk to you for hours and hours and hours, but this is called something extra. What do you believe is the something extra every leader needs?
I believe the Maya Angelou quote sticks with me, that people will forget what you said, and they will forget what you did, but they will never forget how you made them feel. So the something extra that I think can be the game changer for all of us as leaders is genuinely and sincerely caring about others, being mindful of how we land on others when we communicate, being thoughtful about how we show up, and sort of being people focused. That is the thing that I think will differentiate good leaders from great leaders.
Beautiful. Well, thank you, my friend. I have loved every minute of this time with you. And I cannot wait. Yes, I cannot wait for our listeners to experience you. And I hope that they go and follow you. Because like I said, Desiree is always putting out great content. She's got this e-course that you can sign up for. Learn from this brilliant woman and her experience and her wisdom. So thanks a lot for being on the show.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to today's show. Something Extra with Lisa Nichols is a Technology Partners production. Copyright Technology Partners, Inc., 2019. For show notes or to reach Lisa, visit tpi.co/podcast. Don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever you listen.